So we have been on the Absolute for a while. But I wanted to take a minute to read Job chapter 1 to you guys. Hello. We're on Job chapter 1. So Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him seven sons and three daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sacrificed them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, that feareth God and escheweth evil?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." So here it's just talking about, it's setting up the story of Job and saying that, you know, Job was a righteous man. He was upright. He was perfect. You know, and God blessed him, and he blessed his house, and he blessed his land and his family and his children and his farm. And, you know, he would even offer burnt offerings, you know, for all of his children in case they had sinned. And it says he did this continually. So this was something that he continued to do, and he was fervent in, you know, in the faith, and he was a good man, and he was doing everything he was supposed to be doing. And then Satan, you know, comes to God and is talking about how he's been going back and forth to the earth, and then God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? You know, who's been perfect, who's been faithful, who's been righteous, you know?" And Satan's saying, "Well, you've built a hedge around him." He said, "You've built a hedge. You know, it says that you've built a hedge on every side and things like that, and that." So he's saying, "Oh, well, you babied him, you protected him. He doesn't go through anything. He doesn't go through any trials. He's just, you know, you keep him safe, basically." And Satan's basically challenging God and saying, "Well, if you would have actually let something happen to him, he'd curse your name like, you know, anyone else would." And let's see. To find where I was. Yeah, in verse 10, has not thou made an hedge about him and his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and substance increased in the land? So he's saying, you blessed him, you've made a hedge on every side, like you're bathing him, you're protecting him. That's why he's so perfect. And he's kind of challenging that notion, you know, to God. And in verse 12, he says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." So this is after God has said, "Okay, well, feel free to test Job and try Job. Just don't really... touch him in his life, but feel free to, you know, he said it's within your power, so he's accepting the challenge that Satan offered. And 14 says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and the consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So Job's having a bad day. And this messenger after messenger after messenger after messenger is just giving him bad news. And verse 20 says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Thither the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So after all this is happening, after everything that's been happening in this one day, it says Job worshipped God. Everything bad that happened, he just fell down and worshipped. And he said, you know, I came into this world with nothing. I'm going to leave this world with nothing. Because everything he has, he says, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. So Job knows that all his blessings and everything he has is really given of the Lord. It's really given. It's none of it is his, but it all belongs to God. And that reminds me of when Brother John was preaching Financial Jubilee, and he's talking about you give God 10%, but really it's all his. He gives you the 90% to manage, but it's all his. So even if you lose the 90% in some way, it's still, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. So it's all his, you know, because we came into this world with nothing, as Job says. So regardless of what the trial is or the circumstances, you know, it's good to acknowledge, you know, what we have is only given to us by God. And one reason I really wanted to talk about this was because I went to the wedding yesterday, and as we know, Sister Christina Doss passed away recently, and Sister Jill Fleming, which is Lauren's mom, she was able to you know, they had a dance, and Lauren and his mom danced. And I just thought it was amazing that they could share that moment, you know, because Sister Christina, one of the things that she had said that she wanted to see before she passed was that she wanted to see Sharon, her daughter, graduate. So it just really struck me that, you know, everything we have is given to us by God, and then the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, and blessed be the name of the Lord, and that we should really cherish and hold on to all those moments and everything that we have, because we don't know when it's going to be taken away, or when, you know, a trial might come, or when something might unexpectedly happen in our lives that we weren't planning for, we couldn't foresee. But we have to trust that, you know, God is in our lives and that God has a plan for us. And You know, I remember a psychologist saying that we should never take life for granted. You know, every moment that isn't painful, we should cherish. And just little things like that, you know, where just a mother who's also dealing with a terminal illness, who's able to just be at, and Lois was married 2 weeks ago. So she was able to see both of her children married and be at both of their weddings. And I really struck me and thought that was a real blessing for her and for everyone. And of course, we're still believing, you know, for her healing. But, you know, we always just want to count the blessings, even if things don't look good right now. But even the little bit of good that has happened, you know, it was just a wonderful thing to think that, you know, so what someone else's mom wanted to see their child graduate. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And just to see a blessing that someone else's mom was able to at least see both of her kids graduate. And I just thought that was a real blessing. And to acknowledge that in all of our lives, that, you know, we came naked. I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. But always blessed is the name of the Lord. So regardless of what's going on or what's happening, we always consult the Lord, and we always trust in His plan over what we can see. Because Job didn't see the conversation between, you know, him, God, and Satan. Job didn't get to see that. Job didn't know that, you know, I mean, of course Job had a very bad day, and there's a lot of bad news. But God Himself in heaven was saying that God was an upright man, that He was perfect and upright, and He feared God. And the Bible is saying that, and that's God saying that Job is an upright man. And for God to say, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, and for that to be, Job doesn't know any of this. He didn't hear any of that. But what a blessing that is. And maybe, you know, the trials that came his way, he didn't even think that even might be a possibility, that God would see him as just this upright man that was worthy of being tested. You know, worthy of you know, when something like that, when a challenge like that happens, you want to send, you know, your best representative, your best foot forward, the best person you have. You're going to be like, "I'm going to send that guy because I know he's going to get the job done." And for God to think that of Job, I mean, what, there's no greater honor than that. You know, that's true. That's the honor we seek in all of our lives. But Job can't see that, and he doesn't know that, and he has no idea that, you know, that this is a test, or that this is that God has, you know, put Job forth as this perfect, you know, righteous servant. So, I mean, if he'd hear that, he'd think what a blessing. But he doesn't hear that. He doesn't see that. But regardless of the fact that he doesn't see that, he doesn't know, he's taking God's word, and he's saying, "You know what? I'm going to worship God, even in this terrible situation, even when things are going wrong, even when my family's been destroyed and all my ox have been stolen and all of these things have happened and my field crops have been burned." He got down on his knees and worshipped. That's what the Bible says. He fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Now imagine one day you just received the worst news of your life. You know, you just have the humility and the focus and the anchor to be able to fall down and worship and say, "Blessed is the name of the Lord," regardless of anything that happens in life. So I was just inspired by, you know, the wedding yesterday, and that also just ties in with the absolute, where if you have that absolute in your life, you don't have to worry about, you know, the bad things that happen, because you know that God has a plan that's greater than yours and that you might not understand. But if you trust Him and have faith in Him, He'll bring you through. So God bless you. You're dismissed.